Welcome to EAN Cast, your weekly source for education, research, and updates from the European Academy of Neurology.
Welcome to this episode of podcast for EAN. Thank you, EAN, for inviting us. The title of this episode is Temporal Arteritis. I'm your host. I am Pier Giorgio Lochner, co-chair of the Neurosonology Associate Professor at the University of Germany, and I head the Neurocritical Care Unit in Germany, Hamburg. Today, I am absolutely delighted to introduce a friend, a longtime colleague, Arianna Lovrenci-Husian. She's full professor of neurology at the University of Zagreb and a renewed expert in neurosonology. Good morning, Arianna. It's wonderful to have you here. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
So, we know that our podcast will talk about temporal arteritis, but coming to this syndrome, what describes this condition?
Actually, the temporal arteritis is more accurately called giant cell arteritis. This is chronic inflammatory disease of medium and large sized arteries. It most prominently affects branches of the external carotid artery, such as the temporal artery, and it typically occurs almost exclusively in individuals older than 50 years and is clinically important because it can lead to irreversible visual loss if not recognized and treated promptly.
Thank you for your introduction. But the next question is, why is called a giant arteritis and not temporal arteritis?
The condition is called giant cell arteritis because the name describes the underlying pathology, whereas temporal arteritis describes only one common location where the disease occurs. From pathologic point of view, under the microscope, affected arteries show inflammation of the vessel wall, that means arteritis, and large multinucleate immune cells called giant cells. These giant cells are formed when macrophages fuse as part of the immune response. Their presence is characteristic of the disease, although they are not seen in every biopsy. The disease often involves the temporal artery, but certain patients don't have the affection of the temporal artery, but other vessels.
Okay, thanks for this explanation. And if you are seeing a patient with which kind of symptoms?
Usually there is a new onset headache. It's often over the temples, but may be diffuse. Then there is a scalp tenderness, jaw pain while chewing. This is called jaw claudication, and visual problems.
But do you know how many vessels could be affected by this condition?
A lot of arteries can be affected, mostly the temporal artery and its branches. However, it can also affect common carotid artery, subclavian axillary artery, but also large vessels like aorta.
Okay, and of course, we have some typical symptoms that can induce ourselves to think is a temporal arteritis. After this clinical typical condition, you know what you have to do in the first instance. Do you measure some lab or parameters, or you have other conditions that could be included in this arteritis?
Yes, of course. This patient will have inflammation, so you should perform the laboratory parameters that will show increase inflammatory markers like CRP or sedimentation rate. They may have non-mycetic anemia and reactive thrombocytosis. There is also huge overlap with polymyalgia rheumatica. Therefore, this patient may present with pain and morning stiffness in the shoulder and pelvic gluteus.
Oh, thank you. I understand. We have to think about it. So, but we are talking about ultrasound. So I would be interested to know which is the headed value of ultrasound in this condition.
Yes, point of care or high resolution duplex sonography of the temporal artery typically reveals some characteristic finding. This is a halo sign. This means vessel wall edema. And if you press with the probe, then the color flow will collapse. However, this halo sign will still be present. This is called non-compressible halo sign. And also some stenosis or occlusion may be visible. So these are important findings in ultrasound images. Usually, we perform the ultrasound at the end of clinical examination.
Okay, quite interesting. Do you realize other possibility, diagnostic possibility to make the diagnosis possible or probable?
Yes, of course. Historically, because the disease was known to affect temporal arteries and they are easy to biopsy, temporal artery biopsy was performed. But if you suspect large vessels, then MR imaging, CT angiography or PET are indicated in such circumstances.
Thank you. But we are talking about a protocol of ultrasound. Do you have any recommendation? How long takes the examination and how do you do the examination?
The examination will take 15 to 20 minutes. It is important always to assess both sides. That means each artery bilaterally, the temporal artery with its common trunk and frontal and parietal branch, axillary, occipital artery, vertebral artery, then also common carotid artery, as well as internal and external carotid artery. But if the patient have pain, for example, at the face, then also facial artery should be examined, subclavian or brachial artery.
Quite interesting, a good overview of all a lot of arteries. And could you repeat another time the typical characteristic key findings of this condition in ultrasound, please?
First, this is a halo sign, then a non-compressible halo sign, and then stenosis or occlusion of an artery.
Thanks. And of course, the next question is a curious question. Why you choose ultrasound and not biopsy? Is the ultrasound more sensitive biopsy? Yes or not? And what kind of experience do you should have to perform ultrasound?
Oh, a lot of questions.
Begin with the first one. Yeah.
Okay. GCA is actually a segmental disease. That means there are inflamed sections and a normal section. So if you perform the biopsy, the typical harvest, 1 to 3 centimeters of one temporal artery, you will miss the inflamed section. So these are skip lesions. Contrary, ultrasound evaluates more vessels and along the course of the vessel. So there is a higher probability to obtain the typical findings.
So, interesting. In this way, is ultrasound a very good examination? And is a typical time, when do you perform ultrasound?
The earliest the possible. Corticosteroids treatment should be started as early as possible. So if you perform the ultrasound within first few days, you'll see the inflamed section, that means the halo sign and uncompressible halo sign. But if you wait too long, then the yield of the ultrasound as well as the biopsy will decline.
Okay, and of course, such other examination, of course, do you have some, no bad experience, but some pitfalls using ultrasound, I think, or?
Yes, of course. You should, first is operator dependence. You need a bit of experience, and most of all, what is the most important in interpreting the finding is that it should always be performed in clinical content with the laboratory markers, so not after 1 month or later. Therefore, you may easily do the wrong diagnosis. What is also important, the equipment. You should use 10 megahertz probe at least with linear probe, high resolution duplex ultrasonography for performing the ultrasound. Then there is also the possibility of the correct setting. That means, for example, if you are investigating large vessel, then you should have the normal vascular application. But if you examine the temporal artery, you should lower the pulse repetition frequency to obtain better images.
Okay, this is a very good precision point. So you have to use, of course, high linear probe with high frequency and good resolution. And then, of course, you have to adapt your PRF. So, but are some false positives that you have to take in account?
Yes, of course. At the beginning, I said I will always look for the common and internal carotid artery. These are frequently older patients, so they may have atherosclerosis or age-related arterial wall thickening. So we have to take all this in account. Also, halo sign is not specific for GCA, but for may appear in other vasculitis or rare infections involving arteries.
Okay, thank you. And in summary, if you would take a precise, concise definition, when do you suspect temporal arteritis?
So if you have a patient with sudden headache, new onset headache, but also constitutional symptoms, weight loss, night sweats, scalp tenderness, jaw claudication, discomfort during combing hair, and you see elevated inflammatory markers due to a high risk of complications of permanent visual loss, stroke, or aortic complication, you should start the corticosteroid treatment and confirm the diagnosis the earliest you can, preferably with the ultrasound according to EULAR recommendation. If you have low suspicion, then you can first perform the confirmation and then start the treatment.
A very precise point, because I think because of this high complication, and I think we have to look after also the examination as well. Thank you very much. So, and to conclude, do you have any different therapy strategy if the patient has vision loss or no vision loss?
Yes, of course. If you have a visual loss or stroke, then you start TIV glucocorticosteroids. But if there is no such symptoms, then you will start parallel treatment. But what is important, you always look for the clinical picture, because later on you will taper the treatment, you will think of long-term management, probably with tocilizumab, and then you will always have to think of the complication of corticosteroids treatment, because this is disease of vascular system, always at ASP.
So we just spoken about this condition. If I really understood that, you can confirm that neurologists should learn ultrasound, should do ultrasound, because it's a not invasive bedside examination that could help to make the diagnosis easier by the patient. Do you agree, Arianna?
Yes, of course. And thank you for inviting me and pointing out what is very important condition.
You are welcome. And I thank you again, Ian, for inviting us. And we hear the next again. Bye-bye.
This has been EAN Cast Weekly Neurology. Thank you for listening. Be sure to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your preferred podcatcher for weekly updates from the European Academy of Neurology. You can also listen to this and all of our previous episodes on the EAN campus to gain points and become an EAN expert in any of our 29 neurological specialties. Simply become an EAN individual member to gain access. For more information, visit ean.org/membership. That's ean.org/membership. Thanks for listening. EANcast Weekly Neurology is your unbiased and independent source for educational and research-related neurological content. Although all content is provided by experts in their field, it should not be considered official medical advice.